Good evening for WRCO News. I'm Todd Coppernol reporting. Amy B. Bogost, president of the Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents, has announced a 25-member presidential search committee to help identify the next Universities of Wisconsin president. Bogost also announced today that she appointed Renee Wachter, chancellor of UW-Superior, as the interim president of the Universities of Wisconsin, effective May 18th. The presidential search committee will be led by Chair Regent Ashok Rai. The Presidential Search Committee is expected to convene in the coming weeks to receive its formal charge and review search procedures. A team of staff from Universities of Wisconsin Human Resources and the executive search firm AGB Search will support the committee throughout the process. More details regarding the selection process will be released in the coming weeks. The successful candidate will require the approval of the full Board of Regents and is anticipated to be selected later this year. The Live in Viroqua Outdoor Concert Series is back for another summer of live music in downtown Viroqua. Live in Viroqua kicks off its fifth season Friday, May 23rd with Salty Dog and Steez on West Court Street in front of the historic Fortney Hotel. The series will feature eight free concerts taking place every other Saturday through August 29th, with gates opening at 5 p.m. and music from 6 until 9 p.m. Fourth Stream is the nonprofit behind the Driftless Music Festival and now behind the Winding Roads Art Tour. Live in Viroqua continues to grow as a community-powered event, entirely volunteer-run and supported by local businesses. The series brings people together while supporting downtown businesses and showcasing the area's vibrant music scene. The Riverdale Drama Club will be presenting live dramatic readings featuring the works of Edgar Allan Poe tonight and tomorrow night in the Riverdale High School Little Theater. Drama director Katie Fritz discusses why the decision was made to do readings written by Poe.
We had to get a little creative this year because our date for the spring play was pushed back into May. Pushing it back later into the year means that we conflict for our rehearsals with all of the sports we have. Track, we have baseball, we have softball. And so all of our kids are in all of these things. So in order to take care of that, we were like, well, we need to find something that we can rehearse because we can't get everyone here at once for rehearsals. And we were just kind of spitballing ideas. And we were like, hey, let's do a dramatic reading of Edgar Allan Poe. It takes some of the pressure off the kids, especially the ones that are in sports, and it makes it more fun, I think, because Edgar Allan Poe is just so spooky, and to be able to sit there and do a dramatic reading of it, they can have so much fun with it and not have that pressure.
With the readings, there's no need for a lot of acting.
It'll be more vocal and facial acting, because if you've ever read Edgar Allan Poe, everything's first person. He's telling the story as it happened in the past. So it's almost like sitting with your grandpa, except he tells you really creepy stuff instead of, you know, fun stories from his childhood. So we're kind of bringing that essence in and then letting the kids push it out. But they're going to be doing mostly vocal acting and facial acting.
Familiar works written by Edgar Allan Poe will be featured.
We know for sure we'll be doing The Raven, The Black Cat, and The Telltale Heart. We're trying to see if we've got enough time to squeeze in The Fall of the House of Usher, but that one's a beefy one, so we may not have enough time to do that. We don't want everyone to have their bottoms numb in the seats after, you know, 2.5 hours. So that's the hard thing. We want to keep it close to an hour and a half as possible.
The Riverdale Drama Club's live readings of Edgar Allan Poe's works will be held at 7 o'clock both tonight and tomorrow night in the Riverdale High School Little Theater in Muscadet. Tickets are only $5 and can be purchased at the door. The Richland Center City Auditorium will be rocking tomorrow night when High Mileage takes the stage at 7 o'clock. The five-member band out of Viroqua will be performing a wide variety of 80s rock along with contemporary and classic music. Those who attend will hear the band play favorites from the past that will bring back memories. Steve Davis, event coordinator for High Mileage, mentions a few songs that will be performed.
Back in Black, REO Roll with the Changes, which I really like to hear them guys play this song. They do it great. Turn Up the Radio, Sweet Caroline. You got to throw that dog in there every time. There's some Journey. I remember when they put Mr. Brightside on the list by the Killers. You know, probably know that song. I was wondering how that was going to go, and I was kind of skeptical at first, but the crowd sings every word to that song pretty much every night they play it, and I'm stunned. It's become an anthem.
The show will be indoors and dance floor will be available for those wishing to dance. Come out and enjoy High Mileage tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Tickets, priced at $25 each, are available at Napa Auto, Christie's Sunnyside, and Eventbrite.com, or by calling Mick Cosgrove at 608-604-7022. Tickets can also be purchased at the door. Money raised will be used toward the continued restoration of the auditorium. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee will meet Tuesday, May 12th in the county boardroom. Among the agenda items, interviews with county clerk applicants. Discussion and possible action items include recommendation of county clerk candidate to the full county board. Next steps for provision of ambulance services. Cameras on and in county vehicles. Simon's staffing reorganization, a cash rounding policy, ordinance relating to the cost of the care of veterans' graves in Richland County, resolution to rescind resolution number 25-84, which called for the county clerk to become interim administrator if necessary, and a presentation of the 2027 capital improvement plan. Richland Center's next bulk item pickup will be Monday, May 11th. Residents can place up to 5 large items under 50 pounds each at the curb. Excluded items include Freon appliances, hazardous waste, yard waste, construction debris, and tires. Set all items curbside by 6 a.m. on the Monday of collection week. Crews will begin on Monday and return on Wednesday to complete pickup as needed. They will not pick up at your residence twice during the collection week. The Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board will conduct a regular monthly business meeting on Thursday, May 14th at 5 o'clock. The meeting will be held at the Riverway Board office at 202 North Wisconsin Avenue in Muscadet. A portion of the meeting is reserved for public comment, and as always, the public is cordially invited to attend. The meeting also will be broadcast via Zoom. Information will be posted on the LWSRB website regarding the connection to the meeting. For further information regarding the May 14th meeting, contact Mark Kupp, Executive Director, at 608-739-3188 or stop by the office. Wisconsin Farmers Union responded to the U.S. House of Representatives' passage of the Farm, Food, and National Security Act of 2026, calling it a step forward while raising concerns about whether the bill goes far enough to meet the needs of family farmers and rural communities. Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden stated, "Farmers have waited far too long for a new farm bill while dealing with rising input costs, market volatility, and shrinking margin. Moving a bill through the House matters, but there are real questions about whether the legislation reflects what family farmers are facing." Wisconsin Farmers Union pointed to concerns around the strength of the farm safety net, fair and competitive markets, and proposals that could undercut both farmers and consumers. "We need a farm bill that works for family-scale farms, not one that continues to tilt the playing field toward the largest operations," Von Ruden said. "That means a stronger safety net, meaningful support for conservation, and policies that address consolidation." The organization also raised concerns about cuts to nutrition programs, the lack of country of origin labeling, and added hurdles in the Rural Energy for America program, urging Congress to reject provisions that would limit farmers' ability to lower energy costs and generate new revenue. "When SNAP is cut, families feel it right away and farmers lose a dependable market," Von Ruden said. "And without clear country of origin labeling, producers are left competing without a level playing field while consumers are left guessing." As the bill moves to the Senate, Wisconsin Farmers Union urges lawmakers to take a closer look at gaps in the House proposal. As National Hospital Week approaches, this is the appropriate time to reflect on the massive contributions hospitals make in their communities. In all places where hospitals are, lives both start and end within their walls. Fears are born in hospitals at times, yes, but so are hopes. In all things life brings, for the best and worst days in anyone's life, the local hospital has a place. In 2024 in Wisconsin, hospitals delivered more than 59,000 babies, saw more than 574,000 inpatient admissions and more than 2.4 million emergency department visits. Wisconsin hospitals employ more than 327,000 people, and they provide more than $2.2 billion in community benefits. The need for hospitals could not be more obvious. The benefits they provide could not be more necessary, and taking the time to recognize hospital workers, donors, and volunteers could not be more worthwhile. Thank you to all of you for all of it. I'll leave you with this. AP News reports WKRP in Cincinnati is now a real thing. The call letters from the fictional radio station were adopted by a trio of real adult hits stations in time for Monday's morning drive. Three stations in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, and Dayton, Ohio, simulcast the station's programming, and listeners are now hearing them all identified as WKRP. The owners obtained the call letters by making a donation to a North Carolina nonprofit whose low-power radio station had them since 2014. He said the nonprofit donation was not a direct purchase of the call letters. It was a purchase of the right to apply to the Federal Communications Commission for the call letters with the North Carolina group's cooperation. After all these years, WKRP is indeed living on the air in Cincinnati. For WRCO 100.9 News, I'm Todd Coppernoll.